6 of Jesus' promises to some then, that all prophecies be fulfilled, and he would appear again, or return, to reign in glory before their death, and also to some in all subsequent generations, to those who have prepared the way of the Lord, to make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God, by cleansing their evil heart for God to dwell within them. Regarding his coming to establish his kingdom, Jesus said in Matthew, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Matt 16:27 "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Matt 16:28. Notice he emphasized with the word truly. And Mark reports the same thing Jesus said regarding his return to establish his kingdom. Mark 9:1 is the next verse after Mark 8:38. "Therefore, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Mark 8:38, "And he said to them, Truly I say to you, that there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Mark 9:1, notice he emphasized with the word truly. And Luke reports the same thing Jesus said regarding his return to establish his kingdom. "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his own glory and in the glory of his Father and of the holy angels." Luke 9:26, "But I tell you of the truth, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God." Luke 9:27. Notice he emphasized, using the truth. Jesus is trying to get us to pay attention to what he knows would be ignored, saying assuredly, verily, a truth. 2,000 years ago, he said some would not die until they saw Christ in his kingdom. We know there are not people 2,000 years old walking around. So for some, Christ has already returned in his kingdom. His resurrection is not the return, because after he was resurrected, his disciples asked, "Was the kingdom to be established then?" And he said, "It is not for you to know the time or dates," and then rose to heaven, leaving them. Acts 1:6-9 Neither does the record of how he appeared to the disciples when resurrected faintly resemble the prophecies. They see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Matt 16:28 Until they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Mark 9:1 He shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. Luke 9:26 Nor does his resurrection match Matthew, Mark, and Luke's prophecies to be fulfilled before that generation passed away. Jesus preached his coming quickly and the near kingdom throughout the New Testament. Heaven appears to our spiritual eye as in a mist or in clouds, so his coming is on the clouds of heaven, within the hearts of purified believers, just like he ascended. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts 1:9. Even Daniel in 538 BC saw Jesus coming on the clouds of heaven. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." Dan 7:13. Heaven appears to us in our soul's eye as a place of great glory existing in a cloud or a mist. His glorious appearance and reign has already occurred for some that were standing there with him 2,000 years ago. One of those standing with him who saw his glorious return with his kingdom was his disciple John, who later wrote in the book of Revelation, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience in Jesus Christ." Rev 1:9 Paul said, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Col 1:13 The so me are those who repented to become purified for the kingdom. Christ's appearance, the kingdom, and the completion of an individual's salvation are simultaneous, but each man in his own rank and order. Christ, the first fruits, then the anointed at his coming. 1 Cor 15:23 Some of those standing with him then saw Christ's return before they died. They had repented and prepared for him. All of those who do not repent and prepare their hearts for his return see him return at their death. "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will wail because of him." Even so, Amen. Rev 1:7 To the high priest and the Pharisees at his trial, Jesus said, "You shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Mark 14:62 Those not purified to see Jesus return before death see him as they die, as all peoples in all generations do. This is not a particular generation. This will not be a pleasant experience, particularly for those who thought that he would know them. At judgment, Jesus said he would reject many who called him Lord and had even performed miracles in his name, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice iniquity, sin, lawlessness, wickedness. Matt 7:21-23, whoever commits sin practices lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3:4, until we hear his voice, obey his voice, abide in him, and are purified by him, we still sin and he doesn't know us. The foolish virgins without oil in their lamps said, Lord, Lord, open to us. Without abiding in him, his light and word replying, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Without abiding in him, he doesn't know us. From the word of the Lord within, I only know those who have been crucified. I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. John 8:34, you cannot continue to be a slave to sin and serve God, or even expect his approval. Rom 8:8, to become pleasing to God, see how to benefit from the changing power of God by waiting on the Lord. Jesus also said all the end-time prophecies would be fulfilled before that generation passed away. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Matt 24:34, Mark 13:30, Luke 21:32, go read these yourselves. Jesus is talking about his return. Below is Matthew 24:14-34, where Jesus said all the end-time prophecies would be fulfilled before that generation passed away. 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. 16, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain Christ. 17, let he who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. 18, neither let he who in the field return back to take his clothes. 19, and woe to those who are with child, and to those who are nursing in those days. 20, but pray that your flight is not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be again. 22, and except those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake those days will be shortened. 23, then if any man says to you, lo, here is Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. 24, for there will arise false Christs and prophets, and will show great signs and wonders, so much that, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. 25, behold, I have told you before. 26, therefore, if they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, do not go forth, or behold, he is in the secret chambers, do not believe it. 27, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. 28, wherever the dead body is, there the vultures will be gathered together. 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. 32, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is still tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. 33, so likewise, when you shall see all these things occur, know that it is near, even at the doors. 34, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things are fulfilled. 5, notice the emphasis, using the word truly. And notice that this discourse started with the question, when will the end of the world come? Matt 24:3-34. So the end of the world is a personal experience. Below is Mark 13:12-30, where Jesus said all the end-time prophecies would be fulfilled before that generation passed away. 12, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children will rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. 13, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. 14, but when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain Christ. 15, and let he who is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter to take anything out of his house. 16, and let he who is in the field not turn back again to take his clothes. 17, but woe to those who are with child, and to those who are nursing in those days. 18, and pray that your flight will not be in the winter. 19, for in those days shall be tribulations, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created, to this time, neither will there ever be. 20, and unless the Lord shortens those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. 21, and then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, do not believe him. 22, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce even the elect if it were possible. 23, but take heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things beforehand. 24, but in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. 25, and the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers that are in heaven will be shaken. 26, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. 27, and he will send his angels, and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. 28, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is still tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. 29, so also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, even at the doors. 30, truly I say to you, that this generation shall not pass, until all these things take place. 4, notice the emphasis, using the word truly. And in Luke 21:16-32, Jesus said all the end-time prophecies would be fulfilled before that generation passed away. 16, and you will be betrayed by even parents and brothers and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you they will put to death. 17, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. 18, but not a hair of your head shall perish. 19, by your steadfast endurance do you possess your soul. 20, and when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that the desolation of it is near. 21, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the middle of it depart, and let those who are in the country not enter into it. 22, for those are the days of vengeance, so that all things that are written may be fulfilled. 23, but woe to those who are with child, and to those who nurse in those days. For there will be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. 24, they will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. 25, and there will be signs in the sun, and the moon, and the stars. And upon the earth, there will distress and perplexity in the nations at the sea, and the waves roaring. 26, men's hearts will fail them for fear, and the expectation of those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. 27, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. 28, now, when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. 29, then he spoke a parable to them. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. 30, when they sprout leaves, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near. 31, so likewise, when you see these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. 32, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all is fulfilled. Notice the emphasis, using the word truly. Just like Jesus told all his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come back to you. His resurrection is not the return, because after he was resurrected, his disciples asked, was the kingdom to be established then? And he said, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons, and then rose to heaven, leaving them. Acts 1:6-9. Neither does the record of how he appeared to the disciples when resurrected match with the prophecies above. So this is not the resurrection, but for Jesus to appear and to join in union with them. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Home in the heart of those who obey I will come back again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. John 14:3. This is the return of Christ. The world does not see it. He returns with the Father. They become one with us union. It is a personal experience. This is not his resurrection after death. He is talking about becoming one with the disciples. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should protect them from the evil. John 17:15. So Jesus wants to keep us in the world, but to protect us from evil, while in the world, but sanctified. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. John 17:24. We are physically still in the world, but our consciousness and sight translate to the kingdom of heaven, a higher dimension. God is in the same higher dimension. In him we live and move and have our being, who is over all, in all, and through all. And there we have fellowship with the Father and the Son. So with obedience to the cross, we can enter paradise while alive on earth, to be there forever, even after the second death. The New Testament is full of references to the second appearance of Jesus being then, not thousands of years later. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is recorded saying that some then standing with him 2,000 years ago would see his glorious coming in the clouds with the kingdom before they died. In addition, Paul, Jesus preaching, Jesus in Revelation, Peter, James, and John, all said, soon, the time is near, a little while, he stands at the door. Christendom blithely ignores this gaping incongruity between what the Bible plainly states versus what they are taught by their blind guides. It would be a cruel hoax to be waiting on him to appear if the past 100 generations of believers actually had no hope of ever seeing him. When I first discovered this, I marveled at how those who have spent their life as Bible scholars could possibly miss this. I immediately heard the word of the Lord within say, "They are children. They are foolish children. They have no understanding. Children, not men, children who easily believe fables. But don't expect your preachers to admit their error, for to do so would put themselves out of a job. They would be admitting they never had a clue as to what Jesus and his message was all about, blind guides. They would have to admit they have promised you a false salvation, based on ritual and presumption. Leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Matt 15:14, the blind guides smart enough to recognize these scriptures say, "Oh, yes, Christ came back once already to those disciples, but that one doesn't count for the one he really meant." They call themselves preterists. Some even say, "Congratulations, you are in the kingdom and just don't know it, or maybe it is your lack of faith that you can't see it." Such are ridiculous explanations for their ignorance and lack of faith in the power of God to bring the kingdom to individuals of all generations who through repentance and the cross enter the kingdom. Go to the teacher within you, the only teacher you need, who will guide you into all truth through repentance. 1 John 2:27. Now we know his coming and reign has already occurred for some that were standing there with him 2,000 years ago. The some are those who repented to purity in preparation for the kingdom and salvation's completion. Jesus came so he could destroy the devil and his work sin in us if we go to him. For this purpose the Son of God is revealed in us, that he might destroy in us the work sin of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Let no man deceive you, saying that you can still be sinning and belong to God. Those still sinning serve the devil. Christ is revealed in our flesh to destroy the works of the devil, by condemning the secret sins in our heart and then destroying even our desire to sin. Paul confirms Jesus destroying the works of the devil in each purified believer. The God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. Rom 16:20, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." Isa 40:3, the wilderness is the evil heart of all men until they have been crucified, in which evil heart is found evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, false witness, deceit, lack of restraint, envy, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Mark 7:21-23, Matt 15:18-19. Until a man's heart has been cleansed and purified, the Lord and his Father do not come with their kingdom to dwell and guide a man through life. Jesus is holy, innocent, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Heb 7:26. From the word of the Lord within, "See myself, thus no sin has a place in me." Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in that way. Because narrow is the gate and compressed is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matt 7:13-14, from the word of the Lord within, "Few will be saved because of their love of life. He who loves his life shall lose it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal." John 12:25, to those who persistently and patiently wait for him he will appear the second time, not to bear sin, but to bring full salvation. Heb 9:28, those who are persistently and patiently waiting on God see Jesus appear in their hearts and see Jesus bring their salvation, which is to be delivered, freed from all sin. To wait on God is to persistently sit in humble silence, listen for his voice and words, watch for his revelations, hear his commands, and then obey him. Only those who heed and obey him receive eternal salvation. Heb 5:9. But if we hope for what we do not yet see, then we wait for its salvation with patient endurance. Rom 8:25. We wait for salvation. From the word of the Lord within, you must wait on the Lord to receive salvation. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And every man who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. 1 John 3:2-3 For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to say to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, as we receive for the blessed fulfillment of our hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, lawless deeds, sin, and purify for himself a people who are his very own, zealous for good works. Tit 2:11-14 Jesus told us plainly, the pure in heart shall see God. Matthew 5:8-12. This is how it happens to the pure in heart. He who has been hidden is revealed, the revelation of Christ within the purified believer. Jesus is resurrected in us to be our true Lord, our ruling King of our words and actions. 2 Cor 4:14-2, 11-12, 3:1, F2:6 From the word of the Lord within, Jesus did not die so you can continue to sin. I would just as soon have avoided that horrible death. I did it to show you the extent of obedience required for your own salvation. If you are still sinning, you belong to sin and not to me. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth who stand forth without repentance. Christ's return, the kingdom, and the completion of salvation are simultaneous. The kingdom and Christ's return with complete salvation is an individual, personal experience. From the word of the Lord within, six attestations prove the reign's existence. The king is where he is king. Christ does not come into the world, but comes into his own and gathers his seed. There is an eating of bread and a taking off the chains. Many will see him on that day. You will know him by his coming. I will come again to the elect. I will be their crown to lead and guide them. The second coming is a personal experience. The second coming is in the hearts of purified believers. Click here to see further analysis on the end times prophecy's fulfillment as a personal experience. You are probably asking yourself, how could this gross misunderstanding have happened? Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's minister of propaganda and expert in lies, said, "If you tell a lie enough times, it will be believed," as argumentum ad nauseam. Another famous liar, Lenin, said, "A lie told often enough becomes the truth." The big lies regarding the return of Christ have been told so many times, by so many people, the whole world believes them to be true, proof by assertion. All the deficit sects of today are simply variations on the doctrines established by the Roman Emperor Constantine in 325, ad regarding salvation and Christianity. The doctrines were further standardized by later Roman emperors, including the despot Justinian. These Roman emperors, men of war and or experts in debauchery, but made saints, were careful to construct and insist on doctrines that excused their continued depravity. As prophesied in Revelation, the church adulterated with the kings of the earth. The Protestants are just variations of the same basic beliefs. Instant salvation by speaking words, water baptism, eating bread, drinking grape juice, listening to sermons, etc. The same basic ritual form of salvation and worship. Within 65 years, the true church, with its correct doctrines, was stamped out by the promise of freedom from the false prophet's doctrine of ritualized, instant salvation, coupled with the Roman Empire's crushing boot of persecution for any deviation from their authorized state religion. For 1260 years, the true church was banished to the wilderness, to appear again in 1650 with the breakthrough of the early Quakers, who were massively persecuted, only to die again by the late 1800s due to the deception of presumption without repentance, and due to focus on outward societal reform instead of inward change. I must have read over these scriptures 100 times myself, passing over them with misunderstanding and assuming I was just too stupid to get it. I only understood what these scriptures are plainly stating when I had other pieces of the whole puzzle gained from direct teachings from the voice of the Lord and the writings of George Fox, testifying to thousands of early Quakers receiving the kingdom and seeing the validation of their true Christianity by their love for each other, the power of God that accompanied their ministries, and the massive persecutions they withstood without resisting. Persecution that Jesus said would be the mark of his true followers, and necessary to enter the kingdom of heaven. When Nicodemus questioned Jesus what it meant to be born of the Spirit, Jesus replied, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not believe our testimony." John 3:10-11, if our religious teachers of today only taught what they know for absolute certainty, from experience instead of book learning, passed on gossip, and divinations from their own minds, stealing the saints' words, we would hear a deafening silence. Perhaps we would then listen for and hear the voice of the Lord to teach us, instead of the deep heaps of teachers and preachers who know absolutely nothing from experience. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen." John 3:11, but he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him, that man is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. John 7:18. Any man who speaks of God or Christ without the Spirit's specifically supplied words is seeking his own glory. If you are preaching, teaching, or even talking to others about God or Jesus without being specifically ordered in each and every word and action, you are essentially claiming that your own words and deeds are superior to what Jesus would be if he made his own decisions about what to say and do. Christ said, "The disciple is not above his master, but everyone who is perfect purified, restored to the spiritual image of God, specifically authorized, and perfected, will be like his master." Luke 6:40, the preachers of Christendom stand condemned for seeking their own glory and then accepting pay for their worthless words. When to even charge for true words of life like Balaam, spoken from the Spirit of God, is expressly forbidden by Paul, Peter, and Jesus. Seeking their own glory, the preachers of Christendom speak from their carnal minds, the nature of death, and preach their vain opinions from the imagination of their evil hearts. They are the false prophets without fruit of whom Jesus warned us against. Prophesy is to preach, to instruct in religious doctrines, to interpret or explain scripture or religious subjects, to exhort. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They are wolves who want to devour your money. They see you as a source of money for themselves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Matt 12:33, from the word of the Lord within, a tree that is holy is a good one. Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore by their fruit you shall know them. Matt 7:15-21, Christ said, "You will know them by their fruits." And Paul defines the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, quietness, and confident trust forever. Patience, including longsuffering, steadfastness, and perseverance. Kindness, including morality and integrity. Goodness, faith, gentleness, including meekness and humility. And self-control, mastery of sensual appetites, passions, and desires. Gal 5:22-23, leave them. They are blind guides and teachers. And if a blind man leads a blind man, they both will fall into a ditch. Matt 15:14, Jesus said the false prophets in sheep's clothing would come. John said the antichrists and false apostles had come and had gone out from among them. Peter saw the false teachers had come. Paul saw the false apostles had come and warned the brothers night and day for 3 years of more coming. And in Revelation, John saw where the whole world was to go after the false prophets and the false church, which occurred shortly afterwards. The false church is Revelation's whore of Babylon, riding the beast of many names 41,000 sex in Christendom, with horns like a lamb resembles the true church, but who speaks like a dragon, men speaking from their carnal minds, which is enmity with God, and their vain opinions from their evil imaginations, instead of speaking words supplied by the Holy Spirit, as Jesus and the apostles did. Click here to see further analysis on the end times prophecy's fulfillment as a personal experience, including tribulation, the kingdom, the Antichrist, and New Jerusalem. Click here to learn how to benefit from the changing power of God through repentance, which leads to Christ's return with his kingdom. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.